As you plan for next year's revenue targets, ask yourself, does your team have the right blueprint? Stoke RGA helps manufacturers design and launch revenue strategies that work in the real world. No theory, no wasted motion, just growth that compounds. Explore more at StokeRGA.com.
You're listening to New Manufacturing Insights, the official podcast of Insight Publications and the Northeast Wisconsin Manufacturing Alliance. I'm your co-host, Ann Franz, Executive Director of NUMA.
And I'm Kate Bruns, Manufacturing Editor at Insight. This week's episode is powered by Stoke RGA, the revenue growth accelerator built for manufacturers. Learn more at StokeRGA.com.
Well, the countdown is on for the 16th Annual Manufacturing First Expo and Conference, which will be held October 28th at the Rush Expo in Green Bay. If you're not yet registered, please go online now to manufacturingfirst.com and make your plans to see us there. And as we announced last week, we have a special incentive for everyone who pre-registers, an invitation to our upcoming live podcast event at Robinson, Inc., October 1st. We'll be following up with Jeff Engelbrecht for Robinson's Training Academy 2.0, and it should be a great discussion about training and development.
Yes, looking forward to that very much. And if you register for Manufacturing First now, you can also register for that pre-event completely free. And if you're looking for more professional development, there's plenty going on, especially at NUMA this month. Taps and Plus Tours is at Aspiro tonight. And you also have your upcoming cybersecurity conference and a lunch and learn about youth apprenticeship later on this month. Is that right?
Yes. You know, October's manufacturing month, but wow, September is really doing a lot.
Ramping up.
Yeah, yes. Yesterday was so fun. We had our North Coast Marine Manufacturing Alliance associate member breakfast where we had 50 companies come together that want to be in the marine industry supply chain. And it was at Cruiser Yachts, right in their test pond. So we had a beautiful boat in there to look at. And then, like you said, tonight is Aspiro. And then today, we are also starting our data analytics training for the, this is, I think, the 12th cohort. Yeah. And we've had over 800 people go through that training. Yikes.
Be a lot of smart people running around Northeast Wisconsin.
Yeah, I know. And then, again, with our cybersecurity conference, we are calling that now Cyber and Suds. Doesn't that sound delicious?
Oh, cyber and sud. You have my attention.
So we're going to have a little networking with maybe a sud or two.
Perfect.
And then, again, we're going to be ending the month with our youth apprenticeship lunch and learn. So lots going on.
Awesome. Well, you can get all those details at the NUMA website. Mm-hmm. Tell everybody where that is.
It is newmfgalliance.org.
All right. Get over there. And speaking of professional development, our guest today has some great insight on a topic that was the focus of the most recent NUMA Future of Work Summit, which is employee retention. Raisa Ramos is the founder of Find Joy Off the Path, which is a human resources consulting and coaching agency based right here in the Fox Cities. Raisa started out her career in mechanical engineering and then pivoted to HR. So she has a unique understanding of manufacturing and other technical industries. Her breakout presentation at the Future of Work Summit was very well received, and we were excited to invite her on the podcast to get to talk to her again. Tell us a little bit more. Raisa Ramos, welcome to New Manufacturing Insights.
Thank you so much for having me today. It's really a joy and a pleasure. Well, really, there's a specific type of whiplash, I think, that happens when an engineer is really asked to transition from being a technical expert to leading people. And really, that's where Find Joy Off the Path and that story of our company really begins. You know, one day you are trying to solve for root cause analysis and machine failures. And then the next, you're trying to figure out, you know, a teammate that's upset in your office and, you know, because a coworker won't talk to them, right? And nobody really prepares you for what that jump can bring. And so really finding joy off the path, when we think about manufacturing is rooted in standard process, you know, very much about how we can do all the processes to have predictable outcomes. But people leadership is nothing like that.
People are unpredictable.
Imagine.
Yes. Fact check on that.
People leadership can be nonlinear. It can be messy, right? It can be just different things that we can't necessarily find in an SOP or in a manual. And so really, you know, what we do is we serve those leaders, you know, that are in that gap, in that space of confusion and really needing support. Sometimes I say that leaders are out there suffering in silence because they don't know how to tackle some of these tough situations. So off the path means, you know, these situations that are not cookie cutter, you know, how do we take those challenges and how do we find the self-satisfaction, which is where we find the joy in our work and our purpose to really help others and then help those leaders, you know, lead to a higher purpose.
Mm-hmm. So you've worked for a variety of manufacturing companies, including Bemis Company and Plexus. So tell us more about your career journey and why you decided to start your own business.
Absolutely. I'm so proud to call myself an alumni and to have been an employee working at both of those companies and really just a combined experience over 15 years at those. My career journey started as a mechanical engineer who quickly got promoted at Oscar Mayer to third shift maintenance supervisor. And before I went to start that position, my leader at the time, who was a great mentor, was very candid with me. And he told me not what I wanted to hear, but what I needed to hear. He said, you're green, you're young, you're female, you're Hispanic, and they don't really want you, right? They don't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. And so, but what I know is, you know, you're super powered to build relationships. And that's what you're going to go do. That's what you're going to go use and leverage to learn how to embrace this new challenge, because it doesn't matter whether you're 6 months into your career or you're a 30-year, you know, experienced professional at your craft, any new challenge or circumstance, you're not going to know everything. But when you do know or cement yourself in how can I build relationships, how can I build alliances, camaraderie, those that in itself is going to really help you open the key and bridge the gap while you know, get acclimated, acquire the technical expertise, et cetera, right, to be really proficient at your role.
Mm-hmm. So you had supervisors that kind of looked at you and said, oh, she's got the people skills that not every engineer has. Is that kind of how that went?
Yeah, that's how it started to develop, because mm-hmm. I knew that there was no way I was going to teach anybody who was 30 years my senior and an expert, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they knew what they needed to do. Mm-hmm. But what I did see that was sometimes missing was how to collaborate among team members, how to collaborate at that point among different departments. And when you're on third shift, it's a whole different world.
Sure.
And so you have to learn that pretty quickly. So that's where that people aspect comes in for me, just about being a liaison and kind of being a translator, if you will, amongst all those elements.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have brought so much knowledge to our organization. And I was so excited that you were one of our breakout sessions for our future work session. And your title of that session was From Offer to Loyalty, Securing Commitment Before Day One. And I love the idea of thinking about that person before they even start. And so can you share a little bit more about some of the key points that you shared at that breakout session?
Of course. First of all, we had so much fun at that event, and I'm just going to put in a little plug. The Talent Task Force has already started working on next year's event, and I can't divulge the topic, but it's going to be so great. It's going to blow everybody's mind, so watch for that in the next few months. Mm-hmm. But why we focus on that specific period is because traditionally we've thought more of onboarding and creating loyalty as soon as, right, our new employee walks in the door. And things have shifted in the last decade. It is not like that anymore. We've got variety of generations in the workplace, and things are moving at a faster speed than ever before. So that period between when somebody signs your offer and they walk in the door, I like to call it the period, it's like you're at Vegas. And if you're a leader or an HR professional, you're listening to this right now, you're smiling because you know what happens. Somebody signs an offer, your candidate, right? And behind the scenes, that candidate is likely still going to interviews. They're evaluating other offers. They are still taking calls from other headhunters, recruiters, companies. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, they also have their inner circle of people who are weighing in, whether they want to or not, about whether they should or should not take this job. So there's a lot going on behind the background that we have no visibility to. So that's why creating that loyalty before we even get them in the door, because we can't afford to lose them. I don't know anybody in Northeast Wisconsin that can afford that. So we really have to be proactive. And that's how we set ourselves apart, is by creating loyalty and doing some things that are very specific and, quite frankly, quite simple during that period of time. Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't able to attend your session, but I understand you have a six-touch pre-boarding plan that you went through. So I'm really curious, what are the six touches?
Absolutely. So the six touches for pre-boarding. Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first one, call the person when you're making an offer.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Now, people
people will look at me just like you did, Kate, just like you did, and say the same thing. Is this not happening in today's day and age? Listen, there's no ill intent here. We live in the age of automation, yeah. HR information systems, email, right? Mm-hmm. Managers are busy.
And people don't
busy.
Answer their phone.
People have 20 yeah. different plates spinning around, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes the default is, again, HR partner, so good at what they're doing. They make the offer for that leader, or the system or the email arrives at them first. All of those are good things, right? Let your system do the process. But remember that there is no substitute for a quick phone call to that person mm-hmm. to say, hey, we are so excited that we found you whose qualifications and talents match what we're looking for, and we can't wait to have you join us. Mm-hmm. It seems so simple, but I would tell you that in practice, just leading HR departments and just seeing it, there's no ill intent, but it happens more than what we wish it would. Mm-hmm. So just, again, calling to make those offers personally through the leader. The second point is just some really critical communication points and reach outs, particularly on the day that somebody, if they're leaving a job, on the day that they're giving their resignation, and also on that last day of work. If they're at a prior employer. Why that's so important? Because change is hard. Mm-hmm. Again, for any human, change is hard. And so when a manager reaches out to somebody with some very, very simple verbiage, right? You don't have a relationship with this person yet, so I get it. It's not the easiest thing. But very simple, all you need to say is, hey, just, I know that transitions are hard. We just want to know, we can't wait for you to get started, and da, 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 right? Like, that is a very simple message, a text, a voice to text that you can quickly send. You can put a quick little reminder on your calendar, right? But even asking that question as you're, solidifying the logistics with your candidate, new employee of, you know, hey, when are you planning to give your resignation, right? What are the things? It shows that you care as a leader. And that gives that person insight into what type of team they're going to be joining. Mm-hmm. So that's the second part. The third one is send swag in advance. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, this is something that many organizations have the ability to do, right? From big things to small things, fancy cups, backpacks, right? All that stuff is fun and it's great. And sometimes I talk to organizations that say, we're a small company. We don't have the ability to do that. Okay. Maybe, again, it's about getting creative and thinking outside the box. Maybe you've got like some hats that you give out. Maybe it's a pen. Maybe it's just something simple to let so that they receive that brand recognition of, again, who are they joining and where are they coming to? And I have spoken with teams, again, sometimes times are really tough, that say, no, Raisa, you don't understand. I really don't have a budget. All right. Then you go find your sales team or your marketing team, and somewhere you're going to have a paper with your logo, company logo on it. Write a handwritten note. I'm excited you're coming. This is what the role looks like, right? Whatever it is you can share. And that pen that you're writing with probably has your company logo on it. Mm-hmm. Stick it in the envelope, okay? Mm-hmm. These aren't, you know, sometimes we think these need to be wildly, you know, crazy, expensive mm-hmm. things. They do not, okay? So even if you don't have a budget or zero, there's always something that we can do. So number three. Number four is where you can customize, okay? So for example, if this is safety gear, let's say that your operators can choose between different types of vest or what is their safety glasses program, right? Providing information and, you know, pre-choice if when you can. Another comment, really good piece of feedback that I hear from manufacturers is, you know, Raisa, that sounds really good, but we don't want to spend quite the funds because what if they don't get here? Then it's money that we lost. Mm-hmm. Completely understandable, okay? Mm-hmm. So we go back to, again, you're giving them a choice, right? And then you might be able to act on that right after, right? And that, you know, things are solidified. So those are some things that you can do. But again, you can customize other types of things. So for example, if they're out on the floor and they've got, you know, their tool desk or their space, like, did you ask them, hey, do you have a favorite snack? Do you have a something? Mm-hmm. If a mechanic walks in the first day and you've got a Diet Coke on their tool station, what did right. that cost? So right. what can you do to customize their experience in a certain way? If you have mm-hmm. a blue hat or a black hat, just even asking them, what's mm-hmm. your favorite color, right? Mm-hmm. Like, again, very small touches. So customizing, number four. Number five, sending a very simple welcome packet. And I am not talking here about an HR dissertation about what documents to bring. I am talking about a very simple one-page template. And actually, we give this and share this in this session, in this class, just around, like, simple things. Everybody wants to know when they get paid, mm-hmm. you know? Here's your manager's information. Make sure that they have a way to reach them, contact mm-hmm. them. Maybe it's a picture of your team. Maybe it's a small description of their job description, right? Just one-page, awesome, this is what, mm-hmm. hey, this is what you can expect. And then when they get here, we can walk them through mm-hmm. the 3,500-page, you know, whatever, right? SOPs and manuals, And then the sixth, last but not least, is the day before they start. Again, that other touch point of, hey, we're so glad you're coming. And just a little bit of information. Hey, you're going to see that these are the visitor spots. Park here. Text me when you get in or give us a call, and I'll be outside to meet you there. Mm-hmm. So again, as you saw, we started all the way from when they signed that offer to us, and we are just touching base along the way, right? So that, again, they're very, very much impressed, have a different impression of us, because you want to stand out, right? Mm-hmm. Amongst the sea of just, you know, right, quite frankly, other employers, or the all that other noise that we talked about mm-hmm. that is happening in their world.
Mm-hmm. That's great insight.
Great stuff. Mm-hmm.
So you were also featured in June at our NUMA Lunch and Learn, and your presentation title was Before They Retire, Saving Your Facility's Technical DNA. Can you share with our audience a little bit about what you covered on that one too?
Of course. Again, we have a multitude of generations, you know, working together, right, in our different types of industries. And because of that, and because our processes continue to get more refined, more specific, right, and better, we have to make sure that we're capturing that knowledge. But the task of knowledge capture is so daunting sometimes that, you know, companies don't even know where to start. And so sometimes it kind of gets pushed to the background, right? I have other priorities I have to meet. I have fires to fight. And so, you know, what we talk about, what we focus on here is, okay, how can we really walk through and determine how effective your company's knowledge transfer process is right now? And what we do is we provide a three-part framework on how to do that. So the first part of that is we say, okay, we're going to conduct what we call a little DNA audit, okay? And that DNA audit is not complicated, but it's basically we look at what are your most important processes against the expertise, the experts that are required to run, right? Maintain those processes. And that gives us a way to prioritize what you should go after first, second, and third, okay? That's the first thing. So we try to simplify from the overwhelm. The second part is that once we have the process we're going to go after, we teach a method called point, narrate, and confirm. And the idea behind this method is that the trainer or the specialist who's filming the expert can take a company smartphone and very specifically, you know, film and record around that that specific part of the process or that area that needs to be captured. Okay, that's the second part. The third part ties into that because it's more of a framework and a template to help that person capturing the knowledge on how to do that. And let me explain. Again, we talk about how daunting it can be to capture all these things. Like, I have written 20-page plus SOP processes, right? And sometimes they're necessary, but they can also be overwhelming. So when you have questions that are different. Think about this. If I ask someone, if I say, Anne, describe this process to me from A to Z, that's a little overwhelming. Versus if we ask the question a different way and we say, hey, Jose, help me understand this. What is the sound or the smell that this machine will let off before that alarm sounds that I need to be really mindful and aware of? That's what we want to capture right then and there. Okay. And then, yes, if our process is complex and we need a 20-page SOP, we will get there. But in the absence of having nothing or not knowing where to start, these are small steps that we can take to feel like we're actually making progress, right? We can put our arms around something without it being so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And then little by little like that, go and start to capture our most valuable, you know, resource in that knowledge.
Mm-hmm. I imagine it can be a little bit of a touchy subject or a sensitive subject to maybe approach someone about this in the first place. Maybe you're labeling them as about to retire or making them feel like they need to retire by starting the conversation. How do you initiate the conversation?
Most certainly. It is so important, first and foremost, to try your very best to put yourself in the shoes of that other person, especially if we're talking about a long-tenured employee, okay? These are conversations that need to be really handled with empathy and with respect. And quite frankly, they can be scary, and it's okay to admit that they're scary. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do it alone. So I always recommend, you know, the first step is go find your HR partner. Go find them. Go ask for help. Say, look, I see this gap. Mm-hmm. This is what I want to start to do. Can you help me be a resource for how we set up this conversation? Because your company might very well have a process or how they do it, right? How they guide along. And so that should be your first point of contact on how to figure that out. Especially, I'll add this here, if it happens to be a situation where you have an issue of performance or, right, something with that team or that individual, you especially want to make sure that you're locked in step with your HR partner so you can manage it the right way, okay? So if you then, as a leader, go, you've done that and you're trying to approach this topic, you know, again, think about the problem we're trying to solve. And the problem you're trying to solve is you want to capture the knowledge. The problem you're trying to solve is not really, right? Like, that's not the main goal. So that's how you approach it. You don't even have to ask about retirement or touch that topic. Okay. So really the approach should be, you know, could be something like, hey, you know, Sally, you know, you have so much experience on this equipment, and we are actually trying to start a program where we start to capture the knowledge around all these different machines for purposes of getting our processes to be better, for purposes of helping you when you go on vacation. Remember last week when we had to call you when something happened? We don't want to do that again, right? Mm-hmm. So we explain it in a way that, again, you know, right, goes to what problem we're really trying to solve. Okay. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, listening to that other person, gauging their reactions, verbal and nonverbal. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then again, once the person understands the why, right? Hey, can we start setting out, you know, 15, 20 minutes to start? Like, how would we even tackle this? Right. Mm-hmm. That's a different conversation than just asking somebody, hey, do you plan on retiring soon? like those are words we want to stay away from, unless, like, if that person approaches you and talks to you about that, okay, right? Then that's a different angle. But those are good ways in which we can approach that conversation. And again, just try to lead to a better way. Now, you know, we're going to have team members who just hear those words and get really anxious and are really vulnerable and might respond with, are you looking to get me out of here? You know, why are you asking me this? What is happening? All these things. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, as a leader, right, you just calm. All you're trying to do is get to the next best step. You don't have to solve everything there now. Mm-hmm. So you take their cues and again, you reinforce, no, actually, this is why we're trying to do it. Has nothing to do, you know, with any of that, right? And again, you gauge the response. If in that moment they are just locked in and they're not ready to talk about this, then take a break, you know, take a breather and then come back to it, right? You'll have a chance. And many times the other person has a couple days to think about it too and may likely just come back to you. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like your approach to make it a little more digestible, because I've not retired, but I've gone on maternity leave or I've left a job and it's always like, can you just write down everything you do step by step and every detail of everything? And it's like, that's very overwhelming. So yeah, kind of coming up with those questions, like you said, like, what's the smell? Or, you know, what's that institutional knowledge that you can't look up in a manual or, yeah, really good stuff. Love it.
Well, she has given so much great knowledge to our members. But what is your best leadership insight?
I have been so blessed to be a student of many amazing, amazing leaders. I would say that a summary of the different lessons that they have taught me is this. go out and, as a leader, be vulnerable enough to gather a team of people, right? And that team of people has to be brighter and smarter and more capable than you are. Mm-hmm. And you're going to listen to those people. And then you're going to take those people and you're going to teach them how to be dependable on one another. Because as leaders, we sometimes forget, when someone asks you, who's your primary team? The first instinct is to say, well, my direct reports. Your direct reports are incredibly important. I'm not saying anything to the contrary of that. But really, your peers are the ones who are going to help you go through some really tough situations. If you are approaching a conflict, a tough conversation with a direct report, you're going to go find a trusted peer. You're not going to talk about that with a report, right? And so teaching your team how to depend on each other and look at each other and, again, be vulnerable enough to recognize these are our team's strengths. Here's what these members are really great at. Here's what are our weaknesses, right, combined, and so that we can take those superpowers and come up with a better result altogether. That is what makes great, not just great teams, but great sustainable teams who may become leaders that then are growing the next generation of leaders. So mm-hmm. that summarizes up best for me.
Thank you so much, Risa, for joining us today. You were wonderful, and I just so appreciate all your great insights.
Thank you both so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. We want to thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you'd like to support the show, please subscribe everywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple and Spotify and all the big ones. Mm-hmm. As always, a big thank you to Stoke RGA for sponsoring the show. Anne and I will be back again next Thursday with more new manufacturing insights.
Bye.